The International Monetary Fund is out with a new warning about what it calls dangerous undercurrents threatening the world economy. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The IMF cited stock market complacency in the face of rising nationalism as one looming risk. The BBC's economics editor, Kamal Ahmed, reports from Bali, where global finance leaders are meeting this week.
This second sober warning in 24 hours shows just how seriously the IMF is taking the possibility of a sharp reversal of economic fortunes around the world. Yesterday, the body downgraded growth forecasts for this year and next, blaming increasing trade tensions. Today, in a major report to mark the 10th anniversary of the financial crisis, the IMF said risks were increasing, not just around trade disputes, but around a growing complacency that stock markets could only travel in one direction, upwards. The US-based organization said that dangerous undercurrents were evident as governments moved away from global solutions and towards nationally based policies. Inequality, it said, was increasing. It also said a no-deal Brexit could significantly affect market sentiment and urged the Bank of England to be ready with more financial support should that happen.
Kamal Ahmed, let's do the numbers. As investors parse the IMF's latest warning, global stocks are little changed, while bond yields are more stable after jumping in recent days. Meanwhile, the British pound is at its highest level since late September on optimism that terms for the UK's departure from the EU can be settled in the next few weeks. The Indonesian government has called on survivors of the Sulawesi earthquake to return to work. More than 2,000 people were killed on the island last month. The BBC's Howell Griffith reports.
At his garage in Palu, Ardiansa is busy changing tyres, fixing chains and repairing engines. The city which surrounds him is still in a state of ruin. Collapsed buildings and cracked roads, which will take months if not years to make right. But despite this, he's decided to reopen his doors because he felt a compulsion to work.
Many mechanics went back to their villages. We decided the way to overcome the trauma was to get back to work.
It's hard to overestimate the impact of the earthquake on this city, and yet the rhythm of daily life seems to be returning. The first places to reopen were the food stalls. With so many homes destroyed and food aid slow to arrive, people are hungry. Tutus Herlina had to salvage her pots and pans from her earthquake-damaged home before she could cook again. But her paper parcels of nasi goreng rice and chicken have been selling out.
I have kept the price reasonable so that everybody can afford to buy. Many people say, thanks God that I have been able to reopen the store. They show their gratitude, and that really boosts my energy.
While many here are battling emotions of grief and fear, the Indonesian government has called on people to look to the future, and that starts by returning to work. At his roadside barbershop, Putu Adiputra says customers have slowly been returning.
The government said that office and school should start getting back to normal, just like before, so that students and officials are coming here to make themselves presentable, to get ready to get back to normal.
What counts as normal here may be different from before, but as a way of coping, as a way of surviving, Palu's people are trying to return to their lives.
Howell Griffiths reporting there now. As Palu tries to recover, up to 500,000 people have been urged to evacuate their homes in the southeastern U.S. ahead of Hurricane Michael. And a new UN report out this morning says economic losses from natural disasters have risen by 251% in the last 20 years because weather-related events and population growth have increased. Ricardo Mina of the UN Office for Disaster Risk Reduction, which helped compile the report, says it's not the big storms, but the sheer numbers of smaller storms that add up to these huge losses.
Just a very small percentage of disasters are actually being reported. The figures that we have, which are already quite high and alarming, are only a fraction of the total real losses.
From your report, the U.S. records the biggest dollar loss just in sheer monetary terms. But where is the burden of most of these weather events? Who is it impacting?
In the U.S., you can have a big storm or a hurricane that creates $300 billion of losses. just one event. But if you analyze that in relative terms to the US GDP, the amount of the losses is going to be really negligible. It won't even reach potentially 1% of GDP. Whereas if you look at a country like Dominica that was wiped out by a big storm, actually Dominica lost more than 100% of the equivalent of a year's GDP just because of that disaster. So in relative terms, of course, the impact and the possibility of the country to bounce back from a disaster is much, much lower than in a developed economy.
That's Ricardo Mina. Now, finally, Singapore Airlines relaunches its 19-hour direct flight to New York this week. So we've been asking you for your best monster long-haul tips. Matthew says Perth, Hong Kong, Toronto, business class required, then a shower and dandan noodles in Hong Kong. That sounds like a good tip. Tawanda writes, I talked too much, so I ended up with a bunch of guys talking and walking around the plane. And Adam tweeted us, I fly from Singapore to London every 4 weeks to see my son. Now, that's a good motivator. Tweet us at BBC World Biz in London. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.